لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله مولانا العظيم الحمد لله In continuing our talk on the seerah on the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naturally we have to go back in history and many times we only talk about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his birth onwards. But now we are realizing that there is so much more to the life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have pretty much already proven and will continue to prove that the world was awaiting the coming of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was doing certain things throughout to get the world ready for the coming of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam. Last week we spoke about two very important things. One is the aspect of leaders, and when we talk of leaders, we're not talking about the folks that you see in your everyday life. When we're talking of leaders, we're talking of people that are in genuine positions, meaning they are in controls of thousands and millions of lives, access to huge amount of resources, people that Allah has given tremendous amount of power to. This is very important, because last week there were some young men over here, mashallah, and we got into a discussion, and I'd like to talk a little more about it. Was one of the questions they asked is, how do you define leadership? And this is a fair question, because I remember in graduate school, part of the organizational class, I was lucky to take, he was one of the greatest organization consultants probably in the world. His minimum fee for a day used to be no less than, well not for a day, for a couple hours, used to be no less than 10 to 15,000. If he just comes to your company and he walks out, there is no way you're going to pay this individual less than $10,000 to $15,000 to give you the advice that you need to get yourself on track. And that was the minimum. That was his rate when he felt charitable towards you. Now, so on the one hand, you get this historical aspect of leadership from the seerah that we are talking about, way from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, all the way to pretty much Isa alayhi salam and beyond, we're seeing a pattern. And the pattern is what? The leader wants to control lives, take lives, use people, kill people, hurt people, dominate people, and sometimes get killed himself. You're seeing a pattern of this throughout. That's the first part. When you see the second part, when the coming of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see all these things changing. And Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying at one point in the hadith we learn, inshallah later on, where he says, the man in control actually is a man that is in loss. Imagine, a man who thinks that is in control is a man really in loss. And this is what exactly psychologists in today's time are saying the same thing. What do psychologists say? The one that is in control is not in control. The one that gives him in control is in control. So we give the President of the United States control. You are the one in control. You have the ability to vote or not vote. But we don't look at it that way. Many of you, alhamdulillah, may be married. Who's in control in the house? And I don't mean this sarcastically. Who's really in control? When you go in, everybody keeps quiet. Daddy is here. Oh, daddy, what does daddy is here mean? It means you're a zalim. That's what it means. Who's in control? She is teaching the family. Daddy is a bad man. Be careful for daddy. Don't mess with daddy. We don't talk to daddy. We have to give daddy fake respect. We have to make daddy feel good. That's what it means. So we're learning from psychologists that the one that is in control is not the one in control. The one that gives the one control is in reality the one in control. So why do we give someone control? We give someone control because we are too lazy. That's the problem with us as people. Why would I give you control? Because I have many other things that I have to worry about. So we hand over control. So it goes two ways. And his brothers brought up a very good point. So talking of leadership and control, and by the way, as I say, I had an opportunity of studying under this professor. He wrote a very unique book, and it's called 365 Days of the Year. And he's giving people nasiha regarding every day of their life. And by the way, the reason why I'm talking about him is to show you the impact that I feel that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had on humanity. And when I read his quotations to you, it'll be as if the hadith is talking to you. Again, a very important thing here. We have relinquished our religion. Others are researching our religion, taking the pearls and joy from it, and we are becoming impressed by them. That's what is happening. Rasul sallallahu taught us the religion. Rasul sallallahu gave us a beautiful deen. We ignore the deen. The non-believer comes in. He studies the deen. They take out beautiful gems from it. Instead of us being appreciative of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say, MashaAllah, he's a non-Muslim, look how much he knows. MashaAllah, just if Allah gave him hidayah, it'll be so good. That's how we talk. And people like it when we talk this way. We are talking absolute nonsense. Let's reflect when we make that statement, may Allah give him hidayah. No, may Allah give us hidayah where we can look into religion and produce what he's producing. That's what we should be working towards. Again, why don't we do that? Because we are lazy. Because it will mean now, I got to get up on Friday. If I have a father and mother, I got to bring them to the masjid, salah with jama'ah. After salah with jama'ah, I got to read Yasin. After I read Yasin, I have to read Surah Kahf. After I read Surah Kahf, I have to sort of, if I can wait for the Ishraq Salah after the sun rises, then 2-3 minutes thereafter, I have to read the Nafil Salah thereafter. After I do that, I have to get ready for the Jummah. So I have to go home, I have to get my family up, get them ready or get them going. Then I got to cleanse myself. I got to make sure my family is also cleansed. I got to be happy. I got to be smiling. This is hard work. You know, they say, smiles don't come cheap. These things are very... This is why we don't take on the responsibility. So we are discussing it from an internal point of view. And I hope that it is beneficial. For example, let's just read at random a few places. For example, for July 9th, he says, each organization needs one core competence. Now he's giving advice. What is he saying? Each organization needs one core competence. That means, look at your family as an organization. Your family needs, we want our children to be competent in everything. They don't need to be competent in everything. They need to be competent in one thing and be the best they can be in that given thing. That's what he's saying. Now, if we look at ourselves over here, what are we known for? That's the question. I'm not the negatives, the positives. What do people know me for? What is my contribution to myself and my family? Take another example he gives here. For another day, he says, in order for a person to be successful, that individual must identify the one specific great characteristic. Take, for example, another date, July 7th. Creating value in people's lives. This should be your goal. He says here for July 7th, make it your goal to create value in the life of people when they come around you. Now again, you meet people all the time. What do people value you for? Do they value you for honesty? Or do they value you for, hey, stay away from this guy. This guy is dangerous. What do they value you for? What is your prime? Honesty, love, compassion, goodness, sacredness, honor. Take for example, July 6th, he gives advice. July 6th, he says here, focus on excellence. What does that mean? That means don't focus on garbage. Don't focus on useless. Anyone that is useless, anyone that doesn't improve your iman, anyone that doesn't take you to the next level, just let him go. Get someone, find someone that is excellent in what they are doing and focus and work with them and develop yourself with them so they become greater and you become good at what you are supposed to be doing. Take for example, Another date. Let's just move at random. He talks about here, for those that are elderly, beautiful advice. He talks about inflation versus unemployment. Inflation versus unemployment. Now you hear people saying things like, things are very expensive, things are very this, very that. Over here he says, we don't have a problem with unemployment. We have a problem, number one, with too many lazy people, and number two, we need to bring elderly people back to the workforce. Not to work them. Bring them back to the workforce, not so that they may work, so they may come back to the workforce and they may give guidance through the experience and wisdom of life. This is what Rasulullah talks about as well. He talks about respecting the elderly, being good to the elderly, provided the elderly also are good to others. I mean, you cannot be good to an elderly person if he's going to be mean and nasty to others. But at the same time, it doesn't mean you must be mean to them as well. So he's saying here a very important thing. Attract them and be in their environment and welcome the elderly people to your workforce and use and be with them, not in a negative sense of using them, but in a positive sense of gaining their wisdom. How did you run business in the past? How did you do this in the past and that in the past? How can I derive benefit from you in the present? Take for example, we'll do one more and we'll continue with the seerah of Rasulullah, where he says, raise the yield of existing knowledge. Raise the yield of existing knowledge. What does that mean? That means we have knowledge here, but we must use the knowledge to create better value out of the knowledge we have. Simple example, I ask young boys all the time, so why do you like the iPhone? It's cool, really it's cool. That's why you like the iPhone, because it's cool. Well, you know, you don't need an iPhone to be cool. You go outside and you stand and you get cool enough without the iPhone. But yet you can use, for example, if you are smart enough, you can use the iPhone to see how many steps you are walking a day, how much walking you are doing, how much exercise you are doing. You can use it as a tool to schedule 3 days, 10 days, 1 year in advance what you are supposed to be doing and not doing. You can use it as a, basically you have an entire computer. Back then it used to be the PC, they call it. Now you have the entire PC put onto your phone. So he is saying here, increase the yield of what you have. What does that mean? It means what Allah has given you, use it in a way that will create maximum benefit for you and those around you. So again, we're coming back to the very important lesson here, and we're talking about leaders. So many people look at the word leadership as, well, he's talking about in history, this guy killed that guy, and that guy became a leader, and this guy did this bad thing, and this guy did that bad thing, and that's what our history is filled of. No. Our history is filled with the following. Now we have to just, you have to be just understanding of what I'm going to say. Our human history is filled with violence and non-dignity. That's what our human history is filled of. Simple example. Adam alayhi salam has two sons. What happens? One kills the other. That's part of our history. Ibrahim alayhi salam is wanting to do good. What happens? Those around, they want to hurt him. You look at Musa alayhi salam. He wants to do good. What does Firaun do? He wants to kill him. In fact, he wants to kill all young boys. You look at, for example, Harun alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam goes somewhere and Harun alayhi salam is left behind, and they want him to change religion and make him into a deviant. So this is our history. Our history is, if we are not guided by our religion, we are going to be corrupted. That's human existence, human life. That is why we need religion so bad. Not religion in a way that we take what we want, but religion as a totality. Now going back to this history, where there was this individual, and they told him the following, we want you to sort of destroy a given group of people, etc., etc., whatever it was. One of them now becomes a leader. His name was Dhun-Nawwas, and later his name became Yusuf. Now, importantly, we are talking about a time where it was many Christians that were ruling. Now, he calls himself Yusuf, and he becomes of his new religion. And the religion that he decided to choose was what? the religion of the Jews. Now, does it make sense to you? The religion of the Christians is there, and he is choosing to become part of the Jewish faith. And there is something that very unique happens thereafter. He joins the Jewish faith, and after joining the Jewish faith, he begins killing the Christians, according to some, in the area of Najran. Now, this is not a very good thing. Now, many of us look at Jewish history, and we look at Jewish history as, well, they were always the ones that were persecuted, and they were all the ones that were hurt, and I'm not saying they were not hurt, and they were always the ones that were the underdogs, and everyone was there just to hurt the Jewish people. Let's feel sorry for them, and let's give them foreign aid, and let's put them in this nice little place of Palestine called Israel, so they can feel wonderful and secure. That's our history. Not to get too political, but that's a reality. And here we are learning, this is not necessarily always the truth. This is not always the genuine story. Because what we hear from here now, when this man Yusuf, by the way, nothing to do with Yusuf alayhi salam, just the name, gets in control, he goes to this place of Najran, and he wants to destroy its people. Now over there, there is a wonderful man. And this man, in this place, used to follow, like the many other people over there, the religion of Isa bin Maryam, known as the religion of Isa alayhi salam. There was a man over there named as Faymiyun. Faymiyun, now this is what last week we spoke about leadership. This week we're going to talk about how to become a good religious person. That's what we'll talk about, inshallah, in the next few moments. Faymiyun used to work with his hands, and he was known as a builder. He would look for jobs in a given village. He would work very, very hard. And when people realized he was a very religious man, he would leave that village and he would go away. He would, whatever he made a dua, the dua would get accepted. Whatever the dua was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that characteristic. Why? Because he was a true servant of what we will say, Jesus, peace be upon him. He followed the religion of Isa alayhi salam the way he was supposed to follow it. And Allah loved it. So when he would make dua, he would get accepted. In fact, historians write, when he would make salah, he would make 2 rakat salah. Pretty much like how you and I make salah. So the way in which we pray, yes, it is specific to our religion, but if you study the history of it, there was bowing in the religion of the Christians, there was bowing in the religion of the Jews, there was also prostration in, according to certain scripture and scriptural sources, in as far as the Christian and Jews are concerned as well. So anyway, Faymiyun used to be this individual that used to give himself to Allah the way Allah wanted. There was a wonderful individual that liked it and realized, you know, whenever this man is praying, he's concentrating very, very hard. Whenever he prays, now in today's time, again, we have to always sidetrack to show why we are not religious. I mean, why am I not religious? Well, simple, I know why I'm not religious, because I wear a hat, I wear this religious clothing, but I know my personal life, right? That's the way I am. So for me, religion is how I dress. So people will say, he's the imam, mashallah. He wears a hat on the head. He has a nice beard or whatever beard. And he just, oh, and then when you go home, if you have a mother and father, oh, my son, mashallah, my daughter, look how good. Yes, you say it louder, mommy. Let my brothers hear what you're saying. Say it a little bit louder. Oh, this is the game we play with religion, right? Faymiyun was not this way. When he would pray and he would do things, he would be very secretive about it. Very quiet about it. No one was to see him praying at all. Now this leads us to something on the other extreme. There is one group of people amongst the Muslims. They shave their beards and they keep their hair very untidy and they wear tattered clothing. So when you ask them, why do you do this? You know what they say? Well, we don't want to wear very nice clothing and we don't want to grow beards, and we don't want to keep our hair very neat because we don't want people to think we are religious. Now that is also the other extreme. So we need a balance between the both, and this is what Islam brings for us. So anyway, Fahmi Yoon had this person with him, his name was Salih. And Salih said, I would like to be with you, Fahmi Yoon. Wherever you go, I want to be with you. So Fahmi Yoon said, fine, no problem, you can be with me. One day Fahmi Yoon is praying, and he's praying, and he's praying. And a snake comes out. Snake comes out, and the snake is about to attack him. And as the snake is about to attack him, the snake falls down, but before it falls down dead, this guy, Salih, shouts by saying, Fahmi Yoon, be careful, be careful. That's what he does. Fahmi Yoon realized this man was observing him, following him, and seeing him in worship, and he didn't like that. And he said to him, Salih, I don't like what you're doing. I like to connect myself with Allah privately. I don't like you looking at what I'm doing and not doing. Salih took a promise and he says, okay, I made a mistake. I didn't realize you were so powerful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. You know, my brothers, talking from a point of hadith, a very important lesson we learn from Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, and many, many sahaba we learn. And we learn something very important. Never ever trouble a person that is pious in nature. Never ever trouble a person that is good in nature and a person that's wanting to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because rest assured, we learn from hadith, any man, any woman that hurt a person that Allah loves, if you look at their life down the line, it'll be no different from that of a dog running pillar to pole, like how it runs for a bone as it's placed in its mouth. This is something we don't realize. And these people in that generation, they realize this given fact. So anyway, he was a good man. He was a wonderful man. This man, Dhun Nawas, later on comes, according to one historical version, and he wants to hurt. Who does he want to hurt? The people of Najran. That's exactly what he wants to do. Historians write that because this man that had this power to do this, as he began hurting the people of Najran, killing the people of Najran. Who were the people of Najran? They were the true Christians at that time. What were they doing? They were trying to connect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah loved them for that. If anybody's a Christian here and you think we hate you, then why will we be saying these positive things about you? So it's not that Muslims hate anyone out there. You look at it from a historical point of view. Anyway, Dhun Nawas came to hate, he came to hurt, he came to kill. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that these people from Najran began writing to the emperors of the Byzantine Empire. Some say Byzantine Empire, whatever it is. They began connecting with them, writing to them, and later on we see something very important, and next week now we'll continue on a serious note. We've all heard of Abraha. Right, Abraha? The story of Abraha. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَّأْكُولٍ. What is the beginning of this? Where did it all start? Abraha came as one of those people once upon a time to defend, according to some, he came to defend the Ka'batullah. He came to defend an aspect of Christianity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him for his goodness. But like other leaders, his power got into his head. His power got into his himself. That if I'm so great, then I can do whatever I want to do. When you read the story of this man, they say the elephants that used to be made to go wild against an enemy, now we can turn against him. So inshallah, next week we'll continue with this given story, with the highlight of this week being the follow me. My brothers and sisters, Allah has blessed us with this wonderful ni'mah of iman, number one. This iman requires something very important. It requires practice, it requires goodness. Number three, never turn our back on the goodness that Allah has given us. By turning our back on that which Allah has given us, we are undoubtedly begging Allah for this grace. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces a person, everyone can come to your help. It'll never come your way. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to elevate a person, everyone can try to become the impediment to that individual. And Allah will allow that individual to become the greatest individual. Now we are moving, inshallah, closer to talking about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by next week, or inshallah, the next 2 weeks, we should get to that level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us. For those of you that came late, one thing we have to understand is that the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not about he was born in between night and day. Day cannot say he was born in the day, and night cannot take credit for the night. He was born right in between. He was named Ahmed by his grandfather, and he was named Muhammad by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through an angel. And thereafter, as he was born, there was a light that shone throughout Syria, and this bright light, scholars knew that it was. Yes, this is drama. People talk about all this and we all get emotional and we say, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. No, that's only one aspect of seerah. What we are talking about is also part of seerah, to show you the change that will come about by this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how he will change all this from within us through all these other negatives that were there already before. Understand full well, shaitan is going to play a game with you. And he's going to tell you, all this other stuff is not worthwhile. Don't let shaitan come between you and all this wonderful history that we are part of. May Allah help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhidawana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.